Good morning. This morning's Anabaptist story is not often talked about, but the creation of this document was very consequential and most impressive. I hope you will agree. Historians characterize the early Anabaptist leaders as radical reformers. Conrad Grebel, Felix Mons, George Blaurock, and others were all in with Ulrich Zwingli's ideas to reform the church. They seemed to agree with Zwingli on the pace of reform until around 1523-24, when differing viewpoints slowed the pace. One drawn-out debate was adult versus infant baptism. No agreement ultimately led to a final break on the evening of January 21, 1525, in Felix Mons' mother's house in Zurich near the Grossmünster. And Ron Zook will talk about that next Sunday. But what really precipitated the final break from the Reformed Church, according to C. Arnold Snyder, professor emeritus of history at Conrad Grebel University, was a decision by Zwingli. When Zwingli decided that the city council was a, quote, Christian council, and should therefore set the pace for reform and change, Grebel and others parted ways. This is the setting to share the story about the Schleitheim Confession of Faith and why the document was so consequential. This confession was finalized on February 24, 1527, 2 years after the first adult baptisms, in a small municipality called Schleitheim in northern Switzerland, close to the German border. That's the when, February 24, 1527. And the where is Schleitheim. And why was this document written? Soon after the first adult baptisms, the early leaders were hunted down, imprisoned, and or killed. Conrad Grebel was exiled and died of the plague in 1526. Felix Mons was killed by drowning in early 1527. Persecution was forcing the movement to splinter as it moved underground. According to John Howard Yoder's research, the result created a lack of unified leadership to give vision and direction. Because Anabaptist groups did not force each other to abide by certain beliefs, local unity and congregational autonomy developed, which helped to spread Anabaptism rather quickly. Today, we still highly value congregational autonomy. Local autonomy was needed for survival, but it also fostered many differing views on which beliefs are acceptable and or which should be rejected. John Howard Yoder wrote that at the beginning of 1527, the Anabaptist movement stood in serious danger of disintegration. In fact, Leonard Gross claims, had the Schleitheim Confession not taken place and its outcome in the form of a written document, the new faith of Conrad Grebel, Felix Mons, George Blaurock, and others would have been lost to history. That's a sobering statement to think about, isn't it? So what was the process of finalizing the document? The Schleitheim Confession consists of 7 points a group of men and women wrote, women involved, and unanimously agreed to accept on February 24, 1527. Leonard Gross, longtime archivist at the Mennonite Historical Archives in Goshen and Elkhart, Indiana, describes the process this way. The confession came together in 1527 and is, in effect, a summary of the faith of the founding members who brought Anabaptism into being 2 years earlier. Of the greatest significance is the fact that men and women together were in on the process. It was the culmination of a process that had begun in Strasbourg, France, some months earlier within the Swiss Anabaptist group that had been meeting there. This small Strasbourg congregation identified 5 of the 7 points of what later would become known as the Schleitheim Confession. The discernment process used to determine these points was congregational, with the direct and active participation of both men and women. We know that women were equally involved with men in this congregational process based on an epistle or letter Michael Sattler had sent while in Strasbourg. Many historians believe Michael Sattler was the leader who organized and led the meeting in Schleitheim. Some feel he did most of the writing, but others disagree, as Leonard Gross does, by stating that it was a congregational process. I quote Leonard Gross again. It has been said that Michael Sattler brought a draft to Schleitheim, which was then reviewed, reworked, and finally accepted in total unity. And this is true. Yet what has not been recognized broadly is that the draft Michael took to Schleitheim was not his alone, but the conjoint work of a gathered community of men and women. Leonard also feels that both men and women attended the meeting. There is no known list of attendees. So why was this document so important? It gave direction, purpose, and stability to the movement. It was the framework that, if agreed to and upheld, made people Anabaptists in the eyes of the magisterial government, the Catholic Church, and the Reformed Church. So, what were the 7 points? To be brief, I'll simply list each and give a modern version that I feel speaks to or resonates with us 500 years later. Now, this modern version was written by Garth Brandt, Anabaptist history professor at Columbia Bible College in Abbotsford, British Columbia. And it's also, of course, listed in your bulletin. So, first, 1, baptism, which of course is adult baptism, is a choice to follow Jesus. 2, the ban or excommunication. For us, it probably simply means be accountable to each other. 3, breaking of bread or communion. Eating together is a sign of unity. 4, separation from the abomination, or as some of us heard growing up, separation from the world. Be countercultural in your lifestyle. 5, pastors in the church. Gathering should have a leader. In other words, as if a leader in a group was imprisoned or killed, you should immediately, as a small group, identify a new leader. 6, the sword. Don't harm or kill anyone. 7, the oath. Keep your speech simple. On the back windowsills on each side is a 1-page sheet, front and back, that John Roth, retired history professor at Goshen College, put together, in which he succinctly summarizes each of the 7 points that the group agreed to. And I found the summaries are very helpful and interesting to read, so help yourself if you're interested. After the meeting on February 24, the confession was quickly printed and distributed. It greatly strengthened the movement. It kept the movement from disintegration and from being lost in history, something not often acknowledged when discussing Anabaptist history. The confession was the Anabaptist guiding document for over 100 years, until the Dordrecht Confession of Faith was written in the Netherlands in 1632, keeping the 7 points, but adding more to make 18. The Hutterites still use the Schleitheim Confession. Mennonites used the Dordrecht Confession until 1963, when an updated version was published called the Mennonite Confession of Faith, and then updated again in 1995. Conservative branches of the Anabaptist family, such as the Amish, still use the Dordrecht Confession of Faith. Some Mennonites no longer use the term Confession of Faith. Here at CMCL, we speak of our core values. Local autonomy is still widely practiced. We highly value the congregational process as exemplified by the writers of the confession and their unanimous acceptance of the points. Equally important is how women were included in the process. Shamefully, this high regard and respect for women was not always true throughout the 500-year history. Yes, the early leaders were radicals, but the Schleitheim Confession demonstrates their radicalness towards peace, unity, inclusivity, freedom of choice, and democracy. These were early Anabaptist values the world at that time needed, and values the world desperately needs today. As Rebecca Stolzfus, president of Goshen College, recently wrote, quote, "I believe Anabaptism leavens and challenges the world in important ways." 500 years ago, some Anabaptists died for the freedom to choose their faith and values. 500 years ago, some Anabaptists lived out their faith and values as best as they knew how. 498 years ago, some Anabaptists saved the movement when women and men unanimously agreed to the 7 points in the Schleitheim Confession of Faith. And now, 500 years later, what Anabaptist values do we espouse and live by? This morning, we look back to share an important story. We also look forward, hoping that each generation will continue to appreciate and live by the values its formation demonstrated. May it be so.